Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, January 28th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. Peace be with you. It's a joy to be with you today, and I think we ought to just get right into it. And let's begin, as is our custom and practice here. We come to give thanks for the gifts of life, and we celebrate the gift of life by taking in the breath of life, by breathing. Taking in a big breath and holding it and savoring it. And to give thanks to God for each and every breath, every opportunity that life gives us. Opportunity to embrace the world through love and faith. And so we breathe. And as you breathe, call to mind those things that are good and those things that are true and those things that are most worthy of your attention, the great loves of your life. And as you think on these things, turn your face toward the sky. Maybe even allow yourself to smile. And in this posture, in this position of thanksgiving, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. And you can find that bulletin on the left margin, the left side of where you found today's podcast. Just below that line, you'll see sermon notes, podcast bulletin. Tap on that or click on it, and that should pop up for you. Let's begin. O God, you spoke your word and revealed your good news in Jesus, the Christ. Fill all creation with that word again, so that by proclaiming your joyful promises to all nations and singing of your glorious hope to all peoples, we may become one living body, your incarnate presence on the earth. Amen. Our gospel reading comes from Mark's gospel in the first chapter, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." and the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. We pray that you join us here in this time of reflection, that each and every one of us would hear what it is you're saying to us through this word. We pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we would take down our defenses and allow you to speak to us. We ask, O God, that you would save us from distraction and misinterpretation. We pray all of this in Jesus' name and say, Amen. I'd imagine we've all heard stories of great heroism, stories of bravery, stories of self-sacrifice, stories like the person who runs into the burning building to save those trapped inside, the story of great heroism in combat, the story of a school teacher who captures the hearts and minds of her students, even in the most difficult of situations, and leads them to excellence. They're all stories of self-sacrifice. They're all stories of the best of the human spirit on full display. Spirit. They're spiritual stories. They're actions that come from a deeply spiritual place. I want you to hold that in mind as we go through these very few verses of Mark's gospel today, where we catch up with Jesus and his new disciples. We've just met them in the previous few verses, and they found their way to Capernaum. And the Sabbath came, and Jesus and his disciples entered the synagogue, and he took the opportunity to teach. And this was no ordinary day at the synagogue. This wasn't one of those days where someone comes up and preaches a sermon and half the people in the room are wondering what it is they're going to have for dinner. No, this is different. They're hanging on every word because he's teaching with authority. He's teaching with this authority. Let's think about that just for a second. Jesus teaching with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees, not like their other expected teachers, as much as they like Rabbi so-and-so. This Jesus teaches a whole different way. Think of it this way. Think of your favorite author, and there's a lecture in town, a top scholar, someone who really knows the work of this author is going to give a lecture at the local public library, and you go in and you're taking notes, and you're getting all kinds of really interesting information about your favorite author. Think about that lecture or your favorite author is going to be at the public library talking about their work and giving you a firsthand accounting of how they came up with this story or that plot line or something that happened to them in your youth. They're speaking with firsthand knowledge. It's much different. It's much more compelling because it's coming right from the source. That's what's happening in this synagogue. And they know it and they can't quite name it because it doesn't make sense. Because the story hasn't fully played itself out yet. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. And then we shift. We look over to the right in the room. And then, there in the synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. Spirit, there's that word again. Let's first come up with a working definition of spirit before we proceed. The author Dallas Willard uses this definition of spirit. Spirit is unbodily, personal power. So spirit is this entity, but it does not have a body. It doesn't have physical form, but it's very real. It exists. It just exists outside of that which we can touch and see with our eyes and measure and manage. And it's personal. That it has personality. When we think of our Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we refer to that as God in three persons. They have personhood. So it's an unbodily personal power. Power is simply, or profoundly, however you want to look at it, the ability to do work. So this is an unbodily person that can have, do work and have effect in the world for good or ill. And this person is possessed of this unclean spirit, this unbodily person that is working through him and has, just for shorthand to say, has ruined this person's life. And so this one sees Jesus. This one spirit encounters the embodied spirit of Jesus, the spirit of God, the spirit of the living God stands before this one that is unclean, who is tormenting this poor soul. And the spirit, speaking through the voice box of this person, cries out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The fullness of the good, the fullness of love stands before this one, this unclean spirit. And he knows the game is up, that he has to let go of control. Jesus rebuked him. "Be silent, come out of him." And then there's this moment, the unclean spirit convulsing him and crying with a loud voice came out of him. And we know a lot of fictionalized accountings of exorcisms, and I've read the accounts of real life exorcists. Some of them are just downright, they're terrifying. But I think it's helpful for us. I think sometimes we want to explain away these stories of possession and exorcism. But let's just breathe in for a minute. Let's claim the protection and the power of the Holy Spirit, which surrounds us and helps us and blesses us as we think about what it means for someone to be in the grip of an unclean spirit. Just in this passage, especially when the spirit leaves, I can't help but think of people I know who've gone through detox. People in particular that have gone through, who are alcoholic and have made the decision one way or another to get sober to the point where the toxicity of alcoholism leaves their body. And it looks and sounds a bit like this: convulsing and crying and loud voice and misery until the toxins are finally out of the system. Jesus comes and says there's a better way. Put down that spirit. He's not your friend. She's not your friend. Leave it, and it will be hard. And you may shake and cough and swear, and you may think you want to go back to that friend, but they're not a friend. I am your friend. And with enough time, we have all of these wonderful stories in the Gospels where they return to their right mind. And the dear soul who'd been so afflicted, with clear eyes, can look into the eyes of Christ and dedicate their lives to this new and excellent way of being in the world. Now back to the Gospel. So this disturbing moment happens in worship. Right, this person is detoxed right before their eyes, goes through all of it. As if the teaching weren't enough. As if his homiletic skills weren't enough. Then he performs this miracle. And now they were all amazed. And they kept on asking one another, "What is this new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." What is this new teaching with authority? The author of life stands in that synagogue and preaches. And we are blessed that Mark and the others wrote down these stories so that we can be there too. We can be present as he teaches with authority, and we can come, all of us in one way or another, in ways profound and very noticeable, in other ways subtle and maybe just gnawing in the background. We come with unclean spirits. We come sullied with and infected by sin. And he looks at us and he loves us. And in the pure light of God, he says, "Come, there's a better way. Drop that. You think it's your friend, but it's not. You think it's the only way that you're going to get through, but there's a better way. You worry that if somebody finds out this or that thing about you, that you will have no more friends and you'll lose your place in society. But you will gain a new and more excellent place in the kingdom of the heavens. Come." And he does this again and again and again. And some people have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and they follow. And some hang on tight. The demons that have a grip on them refuse. They will not relent. Their arrogance and their pride. But this teaching, people went home and they talked about what they'd seen in the synagogue. At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of the Galilee. You should have seen what went down in the synagogue last night. Have you heard about this Jesus of Nazareth? I'm telling you, brother, I've never heard or seen anything like it before in my life. You have got to find out where he is next and check this out for yourselves. It'll change your life. He brings peace. He brings the peace of Christ. Because this story plays out time and time again. And they're amazed. And in their amazement, I don't think they're really able to fully see where it's going. Where the kingdom of heaven has broken in. and the kingdoms of the earth are challenged and their foundations are shaken by it. He demonstrates the difference between the Pax Romana and the Pax Dei, the peace, the Roman peace. Pay your taxes, stay in line, or pay the price. How the Romans kept peace. Or the Pax Dei, the peace of God, which comes with love and grace and compassion and patience and charity and forgiveness. And it shakes the world to its foundations. And it all leads to a hilltop and a crucifix where the Pax Romana is on full display, and where the worst of misguided piety are on full display. And the demons hiss and they sputter. And Jesus breathes his last. And on the third day he arose. And the demon is sent into the pit. And life is forever. And he calls to us this day, each and every one of us, in profound ways and in small ways. Come out of him. Come out of her. Hear him say it to you right now. No matter that little anxiety, that little habit that's become a big habit, that thing that you are so fearful about anyone finding out about, come out of him, come out of her. In the name of Christ, come out of him, come out of her. Brother, sister, walk in the truth, in the full light and love of Christ. He's calling our names, calling us to an excellent way, an eternal way of embracing just it is who we are. Spirits breathed into life by the author of life. The author of life stands right where you are and calls you to himself. Just come, take his embrace. The world needs us to be embraced by him so that we can go out and save the world. It's good news. It's really, really good news. To which I say, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting us here, for speaking into our lives with authority. We pray for your healing mercies in each new day. We ask, God, bless this, your good world. It seems right now that everyone's running away from you. Help us to be your disciples. Help us to call them home. Help us to cast out that which is unclean and not of you, to be agents of your grace and your peace and your charity and your kindness and your compassion and your truth. Come, Holy Spirit, come, light us up, and help us to show your light to the world. God, bless those in positions of authority, that they might come to understand the gravity of this hour, that they need to be that salt and light, that they need to embody truth, that they need to let go of that which is unclean in their lives. For those who feel invisible, unnoticed, those who are just hanging on, trying to maintain some kind of hope in their lives, come, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. God, you know the prayer list that we keep close to our hearts. We pray that when we take a minute here to just be quiet that you might come alongside, that you might speak to us, sit next to us. Help us to know that you're there, that you're here, and that you care. Meet us here as we invite you into our peace and quiet. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet and your presence in the quiet places. We thank you for the gift of those who understood they needed to write down what it is you did and said. We thank you for this prayer that goes by your name, and we pray you hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so more keenly aware, alive to the reality of God with us, the God who heals, the God who calls us to greatness, our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is with us and blesses us with peace. Go in peace. Amen.